This morning, I wanna jump into something. I wanna talk about what is your point of contact. Your point of contact, amen. And you know, God will meet us at our point of contact, amen. You ever been watching one of the gospel shows and they're praying, they say, lay your hand on the TV as a point of contact, amen. And there ain't no power in the TV, amen. But that's your point of contact, amen. And your point of contact is when you put action to your believing. I want to talk about that a little bit this morning and something that you can use. And there are four different types, points of contact that I want to kind of explore this morning and take a look at, because we all been at all four levels at one point in our lives. And so we're going to look at those and see what the Lord has to say about it. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Or you can look at the screen. We're going to be reading out the NIV version of the Bible. Now, it says, Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 says, so he got into a boat, crossed over, and came into his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying in the bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Now I want to take a look at that. Now, you know, Matthew. Now let's go back up before this. Now, before we get to chapter 9, you know, Jesus was on the other side of the lake. Amen. He's getting ready to go across the lake and come into his own country, Capernaum. And, you know, that's when the wind blew and Jesus spoke to the wind. He said, peace be still. But before he got onto the lake, you know, there was a demon-possessed man. And now Matthew, he don't give a whole lot of details like, you know, Mark and Luke does. You know, Matthew, he just gets straight to the point. He, you know, he going to say, this is what the Lord said, and that's it. Now, Luke and Mark, they're going to break it down and give you a lot of different details. Amen. But there was a man that was demon possessed, and the Bible says that he lived in the tombs, and he was extremely fierce that nobody could even walk past that way. But when Jesus came, the first thing that devil did was say, Jesus, Son of God, have you come to torment me? Or what was he saying? Have you come to punish me before the time? Now he knows. Listen to what I'm saying. He knows he's going to get punished. He knows he got a bill to pay. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all know y'all phone bill come around every month? How many know that mortgage come around every month? You know you got a bill to pay. Amen. That rent, it coming. Amen. That car payment, it coming. Amen. Amen. So he know he got a bill to pay, but he said, Jesus, have you come before your time? He said, it ain't the 15th yet. Amen. Today just the first. Amen. It's just the first. Have you come before your time, Jesus? Are you going to punish me now? And Jesus said, and like I said, Matthew just says he spoke to the man and told him to leave. And he asked, could he go into the pigs? But Mark and Luke, they break it down. And Jesus said, he asked him, he said, what is your name? And the devil said, we are legion because we are many. Now, you know, in the Roman army, they had legions of soldiers. We'll be between 3,000 and 6,000. So I mean, that man had 3,000 to 6,000. You know, if we're doing our math correctly, according to what the scripture says, that man had 3,000 to 6,000 demons in him. No wonder he was breaking chains. Amen. No wonder he had uncommon strength and couldn't nobody pass through the way. I mean, he ain't had no clothes on. He lived in tombs. He broke chains. I mean, he cut himself with stones. No wonder all that was going on. Amen. All those demons. You know, Jesus said, you know, they're getting ready. They captured Jesus. He said, look, I could call 12 legions of angels if I wanted to. I got that at my disposal. I mean, that's between 30 and 70,000 angels. And we know the scripture says that one angel, so everybody say one, put up that one finger. One angel did one swipe with the sword and killed 185,000 men. And Jesus said, I can call 12 legions of angels, between 40 and 70,000 angels. I can call them at my disposal. Amen. I'm telling y'all, we serve the King. Amen. Amen. But the man said, he said, Jesus, permit us to go. See what it is. These demons are territorial. Amen. You got spirits set up over territories and cities and countries and things. That's what he didn't want to leave out of that, out of his region. Amen. He didn't want Jesus to say, you know, I'm casting you out into the abyss. He didn't want that. He said, allow, permit us to stay in this region and go into these 2,000 swine. And Jesus said, go. All right. So be it. Go. And so they went to the swine. Now, them demons, they didn't think that those swine was going to jump into the river. They thought they was going to stay there. Amen. Because they got to have a body to inhabit. Amen. And I mean, it was so violent. And so, I mean, they're so demonic. Them pigs couldn't take it. I mean, they ran and drowned themselves in the river and everything. And I was thinking to myself, I said, Lord, all that bacon. Lord, have mercy. I mean, that first thing I said, man, I came up to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I thank you for your ministry. But, bro, you owe me some money for all that bacon and that water. Amen. You know what? I was kind of inspired. When we had the fun day, and a couple days before, I said, Bo, you going to get you one of those snow cones? Bo said, no, man. He said, I don't mess with that sugar. So I kind of got inspired. I said, man, I mean, Bo, we all healthy. Brother Jordy, I'm going to get myself healthy. I'm going to go on me a all fruit diet for like the next week, 2 weeks. I said, I can do this 2 weeks. So, man, yesterday I said, today is the day I'm going to start. I bought some fruit, watermelon, apples and blueberries and what you call that yellow stuff? What's that? Bananas and what's the other yellow? Pineapples, yeah. Pineapples. I mean, I mixed it all together. I ate that fruit. I mean, y'all ate a bowl that was fit for a king. Now, it was a big bowl. That's all I'm going to say. It was a big bowl. I ate all the fruit. And I'm good. I said, yeah, I can do this, man. I said, I'm going to cleanse my body because I read about the fruit fast and, you know, you just cleanse your body. So about an hour later, my body said, Therese, I said, yeah, what's up? They said, player, is you out your mind? I said, what you mean? They said, we need to have a meeting at the refrigerator. And I said, okay. So I went over to the refrigerator, opened that door, and I saw bologna and hamburgers. And they said, player, we about to have a revolt, and if you don't put some real food in you, it ain't going to be good for you. I closed the door. I said, nah, I'm going to do this, man. For the next hour, I was walking around. You know, we were saying Jesus a while ago. That's why I was saying Jesus, 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 Jesus. I said, Lord, why is my head hurting? I said, I see what people on crack go through. Lord, have mercy. I'm having hamburger withdrawals, man. Man, stuff in the cabinet was calling me, cookies and stuff. I said, nah, I ain't going to do it. So I'm on day two. So if y'all see my eyes a little red, y'all know what's going on. Amen. I'm fiending, amen. I mean, a hot dog, anything can do me right now. Amen. Praise God. But anyway, Jesus came over to Capernaum, and the Bible says, so he got into the boat. Amen. And he came into his own city. Then, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on the bed. Now, in Mark and Luke, they break it on down. You know, when the rabbis used to come make their rounds through the towns and preach and teach, if the rabbi came to your house, it was considered an honor. Amen. And you knew if the rabbi came and was getting ready to have Bible class at your home, the whole town was coming to your house. Amen. You better have your house clean. You better have some refreshments. Why? Because everybody is coming to your house. Why? Because the rabbi was teaching. So Jesus came and he was in that house getting and he was teaching. So that's why the house was so full. It was so packed. I mean, it wasn't no room to walk them down the streets. People parked all on the lawn. You couldn't move. I mean, you couldn't drive. You couldn't do nothing because it was so many people. The house was absolutely packed. And so the guys, his four friends came carrying him on a stretcher. Amen. They couldn't get in the house. Amen. So they said, somebody had a bright idea. Let's climb up on top of the house and let's dig in through the roof. Now, if that had been my house, Lord have mercy. I'm glad you got your healing, but you about to be paralyzed again. Amen. I mean, you done tore a hole in my roof? Dude, yeah, amen. And you know, I wouldn't show it out in front of Jesus. I'd wait till he left. Then I'd have showed out. Hey, I need to see you just for a minute. Okay, Jesus, see you later. Hey, brother, I need to see you just for a minute. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But they tore a hole in his roof, and they lowered him down. What the other gospel said, they lowered him down. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, that was their point of contact. Amen. That was their point of contact. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes you just can't get it on your own. When you in that space and you in that place and you're trying to run this race and you just can't get it on your own, amen, you need some help from some friends. That's why the Bible says, pray ye one for another, amen. I'm telling you, pray for me. I'm going to pray for you, amen. Why? Because I need the help, amen. But this man knew, number one, he couldn't walk. But he knew he needed some friends that had some crazy face just like him. So they climbed up. I'm just trying to imagine them climbing up on that house with a guy on the stretcher. They probably dropped him a time or two, amen. John, I'm so sorry, man, but we're going to pick you up. Hold on, brother, amen. And tore the roof and let him down, amen, amen. Sometimes you need some help. Now watch what the scripture says, amen. He says, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within himself, this man blasphemes, amen. Or he's insulting God, amen. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, arise and walk? See, Jesus, these Pharisees, they don't study the scripture. They know that only God can forgive sins, amen? And they knew that only God can say, rise up off that bed and walk, amen? They knew that only God could do that, amen? Now watch this. Verse 6 says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power or authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, arise and take your bed and go to your own house. And he departed to his own house. Now, Jesus already knew that he had authority and he had power. He had the ability to produce. I want to tell each and every one of you this morning, you got some power, amen. You have ability to produce, amen. Amen, we just use God's methods and we're going to get his results, amen. You have the ability to produce in your life. You have the ability to produce in your children's life. You have the ability to produce in your family life, on your job, amen, in your community, amen. He said, the Son of Man has power on this earth. And he told the man, get up, take your bed up and walk. And the man got up and he departed to his own house. Now, verse 8 says, now when the multitude saw it, multitudes, they in the house, but the Bible said it was multitudes. What do multitudes mean? Many, 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 many people. Yeah, it was so many people at that house. It said, when the multitudes saw it, the Bible says that they marveled. And they glorify God who has given such power unto men. Now, that kind of makes me think they marveled. They was in astonishment. It was a great surprise to them. I mean, it was an intense surprise because they ain't never seen nothing like that happen before. Now, yeah, we done seen a broke leg healed and crutches thrown across the church and walk out of here on their own accord, amen. We're not seeing somebody paralyzed and get up and move, amen. We've seen it before, but they had never seen nobody operate in the level of authority like they've seen. The Bible said they marveled. I'm gonna show you how big of a surprise it was. Now, if you were to meet this guy, the Sultan of Brunei, amen. He's a Sultan or one of the oil billionaires, amen. They say that he has the world's biggest car collection. Amen. Estimated 7,000 cars worth more than $5 billion. Now, I used to work at a car dealership long, long time ago. I worked there for a little while. Did pretty well. Now, we had about 100, maybe 200 cars. Man, that was a lot of cars on that lot. I'm talking about that was a lot of cars. 7,000 cars that you own? Amen. They say he has 452 Ferraris. Okay, I'm going to say it again. 452 Ferraris. Now, you know, average price for a Ferrari is about $250,000. He has almost 600 Rolls Royces. Man, what you going to do with 600 Rolls Royces? I'm just saying. Come on, brother. Bring one to Mississippi. I'm just saying that. Come on now. They buy $400,000 a piece. Amen. 480 Bentleys. You know, that's my dream car. A new Bentley costs about $300,000. Amen. 574 Mercedes-Benz, 179 Jaguars. He said he has the Guinness Book World Records for the largest collection of 4x4 vehicles, 718. I'm just saying, if you were to meet him and look at his car collection, you would absolutely marvel. Y'all see what I'm saying? I mean, you would be in extreme astonishment looking at, I mean, I done seen the Bentley up close before. I mean, I was astonished right then, amen. I done seen the Rolls Royce up, we was at a restaurant and this guy, he was from New York. I remember looking at the tag. I'm like, dude, this your Rolls Royce? Yeah, brother. Can I look at it? Yeah, man. I'm like, dude, man, this is nice, man. But to look at 600 of them, man, I'm just saying, man, come on now. But when they saw the miracle of Jesus, they were absolutely astonished. Amen. So your point of contact may be, I need some help. You know, we say all the time here, I believe AJ, well, he got it from me, but he, help, help. You know, he heard me say that one day. And then he going to stand up in church, try to say it before I said it. Amen. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, in my heart, I forgave him. You know what I'm saying? I forgive him. Amen. I let him have that one. Amen. But every time y'all hear him say help, help from here on out, y'all know where it came from. Amen. Turn to the 18th verse of Matthew. Another point of contact. Somebody say amen. Another point of contact. Now, verse 18 says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter had just died, but come lay your hand on her and she will live. Now, again, Matthew just gets straight to the point. You go look at Luke and Mark. If you go look at them, they break this story down in more detail. Matthew says it's just a ruler, but the other gospel said it was a ruler of the synagogue. Now, what did he do? He was the guy that took care of the synagogue. They had classes in the synagogue. They had a school there. He was the administrator. Amen. So he had some prominence in the community. Amen. Everybody knew who he was. He was like the principal of the school. He was the Tyrone of the church. Amen. He had some prominence. He sung on the praise team and all that good stuff. But he was a Gentile. But he had some prominence. And they came, when they first came to him, he said, my daughter is at the point of death. Amen. He said, she's about to die. He said, will you come and lay your hand on her? And Jesus said, I'll come. And then at that moment, what you got to understand and what you got to realize, everywhere Jesus would heal somebody, he said, don't tell nobody. Why would he say that? Because Jesus couldn't move no more. Everywhere he went, massive crowds. I'm talking about as far as I could see. I mean, you've been in a crowd a couple hundred people, 200 or 300 people. That's a lot of people. Well, you think about it, you got 5, 10, 15, 20,000 people all around you, pressing up on you. Everybody want to be around Jesus. I mean, the guy said, will you come heal my daughter? Jesus said, I'll come. But you gotta weave your way through all these people, amen. You got 5,000 and 6,000 people right there around you, amen. So he's moving along, and of course we know that the lady with the issue of blood stopped him, but we're gonna get back to that. So verse 23 says, go to verse 23. So they came to Jesus, they came to Jesus and the ruler, and they said, your daughter has already died. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Amen. Now, verse 23 says, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw flute players and the noisy choir wailing, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And the scripture says that they ridiculed him. Some of the other translations say they laughed him to shame. Amen. Now, back in those days, they used to hire minstrels, you know, musicians and professional wailers to help the family grieve. And that's who all those people were out there. Of course, the family was grieving, whatever, but they had professional people. That was their job. I mean, imagine that be your job. Somebody passed and you go to their house and you get paid to go cry. Oh, I could do some good putting on. Oh, Jesus, Leroy. Lord, you know he was a good fella. Oh, Jesus. Lord, Leroy, he never wear no matching socks, but Lord, Leroy was a good fella. Amen. I mean, they got paid to do that. And the flute players and the ones with the drums, they got paid to do that. Amen. And you can see it in, turn to Jeremiah chapter 9 and 17. You can see this was a tradition they made, that they did all the time. The scripture says I'm going to read out a different translation, even they got up on the scripture. Is it on the screen? It says, call for the mourning women that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with water. See, that's what they did. When somebody passed, I mean, they would have people that would just wail, and the musicians would play and help the neighbors and all the other family move them to tears and help them grieve. Amen. So that's why Jesus said, that's why they laughed at him when they said that, he said, look, the girl is just sleeping. Amen. Because you wouldn't have the minstrels there playing, and you wouldn't have the people wailing and crying if the girl wasn't dead. Amen. So Jesus said, let me try to get to my scriptures. He said, make room for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand. The girl arose, and the report of him went out through all the land. Their point of contact was, he said, Jesus, if you will come to my house and lay your hand on her, my daughter will live. That was his point of contact. Amen. Where's your point? I'm telling you, God will meet you where your point of contact is. Wherever you put action to your faith, God's right there to meet you. Amen. Amen. It's like a chess game. Amen. You make your move, he make his. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now, we're going to look at, that's the second. We're going to look at the third point of contact. Amen. Matthew, let's look at the 20th verse and the 21st verse of Matthew chapter 9. Now, this point of contact, I like this one. I call this one, when you get it for yourself. Amen. Oh, praise God. When you get it for yourself. Now, they were, the crowd was thick. And the Bible says, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only may touch his garment, I shall be made well. You know, I think to myself, what inspired those people to believe? Well, in chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus did a whole lot of teaching around the area. Amen. He taught them, and he taught them, and taught them. And then he began to heal everywhere that he go. So his fame spread. They heard that there was a man that was operating in power. There was a man that had the power of God flowing through him that could lay hands on you and agree with you, and you would get healed. Oh, so they heard of Jesus. They heard the word. And how many of y'all know we have been hearing word for a long time? Amen. We've been hearing word for a long time. So I'm telling you, I know you believe. Amen. Praise God. So the Bible says she said to herself, there's a lot going on here. She said to herself, we have to make sure that we use this thing. God gave us this mouth to speak. Not just to communicate with each other. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm good. Glad to see you. Man, how's the weather outside? Oh, it's hot outside, man. No, but he gave us this mouth to speak into our lives. He gave us this mouth to speak his word to change situations. Amen? Praise God. Now, she said to herself, if I only may touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. Now, in those days, Jesus wore it's kind of like a shawl, a big shawl, and it had tassels on the end of it. And that's what, you know, some of the translations said, if I could touch the fringe of his garment or the hem of his garment, or other translations said at the actual tassels. Turn to Numbers 15:38-39. Speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. So you could recognize a Jewish person because they would wear those shawls with those tassels on the four corners. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the lady said to herself, she said, if I could just touch that tassel, amen. She said, I'll be made whole. I will be healed, amen. She said, if I could just touch it, I will be made well. And Jesus turned around and he said, who touched me? Now, that's why the disciples said, they said, Master, don't you see all these people out here? thronging you and pushing you and pressing up on you. And you ask, who touched me? Jesus said, hey, I felt some virtue go out of me. Amen. I know virtue went out of me. And he looked at the lady. He turned around. And he saw her and he said, daughter, be of good cheer. He said, your faith has made you whole, made you well. And the woman was made well from that very same hour. God met her at her point of contact. At her point of contact, she put action to her faith. Amen. Listen, put action to your faith. Amen. Had somebody said, Thread, we believe in God for a car. And we want wisdom how to do it. Guess what? I saw they got their car. Amen. Put action to it. Amen. I can remember had a brother. He said, man, I'm trying to sell this car. It ain't selling. We put some action to it. We agreed together. And just a week or so, maybe, that car was sold. Amen. Amen. Put action to it. Amen. If you need some help, find you somebody. Hey, brother, I need you to agree with me. Amen. Hey, sister, can you pray with me? Amen. Or sometimes you don't spend enough time. You say, hey, I can get it for myself. Amen. I can get it for. And she said, if I could just touch that tassel, touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Amen. Praise God. Last point of contact I want to talk about. Let's look at Matthew 8 and 5. Amen. I'm going to start at, let's see. I said 8 and 5. Go to the first verse. No. At 5. That's why I'm going to be at 5. You're right. Okay. So, all right, here we go. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed and dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said to him, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. Amen. And my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go. And he goes. And I says to another, come. And he comes. And to my servant, do this. And he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He said to those that followed him, he said, look, y'all, assuredly, I say unto you, I ain't never seen no faith this big. Amen. They said in our own modern day term. Jesus said, I've never seen faith this big. Praise God. Now, what was this centurion's point of contact? Number one, he heard about Jesus. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing. Amen. So he heard about Jesus and he settled in his heart. He said, look, this man operates under authority. I understand authority. I got some people over me. When my boss says, hey, come here. I need to have a meeting. Guess what? I'm on my way to come. But when I got people under me as well, if I tell them, hey, you go do this and you go do that and you come here, they're going to do it. He said, this prophet, this rabbi is operating in authority. He said, all I got to do is have him to say the word. And God met that man at his point of contact. Amen. God met him at his point of contact. I'm telling you, Christian Fellowship Church, I'm telling you today, wherever you are, you could be at the point you need somebody to help you agree. Fine. Just get to the finish line. You could be at the point, amen, Jesus, I need you to come here and lay your hand. Bishop, lay your hand on me. I need you to pray. Fine. Just get to the finish line. You could be at the point, I can get it for myself. Amen. All I got to do is touch the hem of his garment. I can get it for myself. Amen. Get to the finish line. Or you could be at the point where you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to stand here and speak the word. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to speak what thus says the Lord, and I ain't going to be moved. Get to the finish line. Amen. I'm telling you that the enemy is defeated. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Satan has some power because he's a spiritual being. Amen. He's been here for a long time. He has some power, and he does operate in this earth realm and does things. He does a lot of bad things. Amen. But his power does not trump the power that God has given you and me. I ain't never walked into a dark room, flipped on the light switch, and that darkness stayed. Never. Never, ever. Amen. I'm telling you that the power of God will completely obliterate anything that the enemy has. Amen. The only thing he has is the power of suggestion. Amen. And if he can get you to say the wrong thing, get it coming out of your mouth, and you open the door for him to set foot in and wreak havoc in your life, that's the only thing that he has. Amen. And a lot of people, you know, I'm telling you, I know I've been guilty of it in the past. Amen. You believe in God for this and that. And man, you mess around and get around the wrong people. Before you know, you done said the wrong thing. You got to say, okay, Lord, I repent for that. I did not mean to say that like that. I'm not saying nothing bad, but you're making a bad confession. Especially, I mean, like over your job or, you know, some people over your kids or different situations. No, we speak, what do you say? Speak the word only. Only speak the word of God. Amen. We only speak the word of God. So this week, as you go forth, I want you to realize that the enemy is a defeated foe. Amen. He is a defeated foe. And Christ defeated him when Jesus went to hell. He defeated Satan, stripped the keys, and left him without any authority. Because at one time, Adam had delivered that authority over to him. Amen. Jesus stripped that authority from him. And he gave that authority to you and me. You have the right to, you have the ability to produce. Amen. You have the ability to act. You have the ability to determine, because you have authority. And that authority comes from God on high. Amen. And he has given that to us. I'm going to say it again. We are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. When Queen Elizabeth died, everything that she had went to her son. Amen. Why? Because he was her heir. And when he died, everything that he has is going to go to his son. Why? Because they are heirs. Y'all, I'm telling you, Jesus died. Amen. And we are heirs of God. Amen. And everything that God has, his wisdom, his love, his peace, the power, the authority. Amen. We have it. We have it. Let's operate in it. Amen. Let's operate in it. This week, I want you to find something that you're going to use your authority on. Amen. Amen. If you're not used to using that authority and speak, I want you to find the area in your life, and I want you to use that authority. I want you to speak. I want you to take your scripture. Amen. You find your scripture. Amen. I ain't gonna do the homework for you. Amen. Find your scripture. Lord, this is what your word says about this situation right here. Amen. I can remember I was believing God for an Apple Pencil. It was the Apple Pencil 1. And I could have bought the thing, but God told me to believe for it. And he said, it cost like $100. He said, sold $20 for it. I said, okay, I sold $20. And I hadn't got it, but I ain't changed my confession. I said, Lord, I thank you. I received my Apple Pencil in Jesus' name. I received it in Jesus' name. Then he said, sold $20 more. I'm like, Lord, I could have been bought the thing, you know, in a minute. I mean, how many more 20s you want me to sell? Amen. I mean, but then, you know, and then I had a brother come up. You know what, Therese? I got a new iPad, and you can have this Apple Pencil. I'm like, okay, all right, I appreciate it. He just wanted me to use my faith, y'all. That'd been years ago. Wanted me to use my faith, amen? Use your faith. Faith is a servant, and I'm getting ready to close. It's a servant. When you're in charge, you know, and you got people working for you, I mean, you tell them, hey, you go do this. Hey, get busy. All right, after you finish this, I need you to go do this and go do that. And after they finish this, all right, I need you to go do this and not complete this. And once you get through with this, come back and I'm going to tell you what else you need to do. That's how you need to use your faith. Faith is a servant. Put your faith to work. Make him work. Make him work. That's what he's designed to do. That's what God gave it to us for. Amen. The Bible says we all have the measure of faith. Amen. That same powerful faith, God gave us a measure of it. And we know what God's faith produced. Amen. This whole universe, every atom, every cell, every tree, every cow, every dog, every piece of dirt, every molecule, everything, every star, every plane. God's faith produced all of that. Amen. Or the knowledge how to make it come to pass. Amen. God's faith produced that. And he gave us a measure of that faith. This week, amen. As you, number one, as you read your chapter every day, amen, because I'm telling you, faith comes by hearing. And when you begin to read, you're reading it out loud to yourself, you know, not shouting it, but you read it where you can hear yourself. and you're putting that word into your heart and you're going through those scriptures. I mean, when you go through a scripture, I mean, I've read a chapter. That's why I like reading on my, you know, a lot of preachers say, man, you need to have your paper Bible at church. That, yes. I mean, I do agree with that. But I love reading on my iPad or my Mac or my phone. Why? Because I got like 15 different versions. And boy, I can flip through all of them. I'll read a chapter. I'll read that same chapter in, you know, like 6-7 different translations. Amen. Because I want to know what I'm reading. Amen. Let me see what the Message Bible got to say about it. Okay. I got that. Let me see what the Passion got to say about it. Let me see what the NLT got to say about it. Let me see what the New King James, how it reads. Amen. Let me see what the Amplified Classic got to say about it. I want to know what I'm reading. Amen. Praise God. And it's all at the touch of a fingertip. Now, back in the day, boy, you had to get that concordance out. I got a stack of Bibles. Lord have mercy. I got some. And there can't nobody out Bible pastor. Now, Bishop got some Bibles. Amen. Woo! He got some Bibles. Amen. But I got a bunch of Bibles. I can remember back in the day, boy, you read through this, and I remember buying a Bible that had three different translations in that same Bible. No, four different translations in that same Bible. Boy, I thought I was doing something, man. Boy, I could go through there, but it's so much easier, I'm just saying. Amen. Hey, man, I got 15 translations at my fingertips. Amen. Just boom, boom, boom. I'm right there. Praise God. So this week, as you read your chapter today, amen, and you go through that word, I want you to find your scripture, and I want you to apply it. Amen. We're going to do this thing together. We're going to become proficient at it. Amen. We're going to become proficient. How do you think Jeffrey became so proficient at doing everything, carpenter work, electricity? I mean, just everything you think of. After I taught him, amen, and I showed him the way, he... And like I was saying, I said, Jeffrey, you got to take your time. I said, you always measure twice and cut once. You understand? And I said, when you hammer, I said, you got to put your shoulder into it. And I had to show him those techniques. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Y'all see him close my thing. Like the same way I taught Marianne how to cook. Amen. I can go on and on. Amen. Praise God.